Good afternoon. Welcome to Live Well Seminar with Harriet, Live Well Lifestyle. I'm happy to be with you today. In case you couldn't understand the words of that song, it's a Swedish song written by a lady that I met on a cruise to Tahiti a couple of years ago, and loved the energy of the song, even though I can't understand the words, so wanted to share that with you today. This is Perrier, your hostess. Generally, we do clay seminars, but once a month we work on a lifestyle seminar, how we can help our lives so that we're not... Hang on just 1 second. I'm on my teleseminar. Can I call you back? Okay, bye. Forgot to turn my phone off and had an urgent call there, so took care of that. Apologize. What we were talking about is our lifestyles, and sometimes our lifestyles get so hectic we lose our place of peacefulness and serenity. And just for a few minutes, if we can have some time out and go to that place and ground it and get centered in who we really are beyond our doingness and our busyness. So that's what the Live Well Lifestyle Seminar is about. And today the topic I want to discuss is allowing others to have their own life experiences. Think about that a minute. Allowing others to have their own life experience. We have such a helpful, caring nature that we just love to help people, and we see them when we think they're drifting, that we need to give them advice or tell them what to use to make a better meal or just anything, how to run their business, how to run their lives, what to do, what not to do. And as Byron Katie says, she says, in all the world, I can only find three kinds of business: your business, my business, and God's business. So it's about staying in your own business. Now, if you're a parent, that can be really difficult. If you've ever been a parent, you realize how hard it is. You don't want your baby to ever fall or get burned or hurt themselves. You want to protect them from life's learning experiences. Well, you might as well pickle them and put them on a jar in the shelf just to see and love, but never to have lived. Overprotection creates that. Every toddler and infant has to experience hot before they understand why mommy and daddy go ballistic when they get too close to something that parents think and they're pointing to it and yelling, hot, hot, no, don't touch, hot. Eventually they will touch it, get a small burn experience, and connect the dots. Oh, that's what hot means. Now they know. I mean, you know, at this stage, infants, that they don't understand the words we're saying. They go more by the expression in our face and the sound of our voice. You can use the sound of your voice and shame a baby into crying, and they have no earthly idea why. They're just so attached to the parent and related to what they're feeling that they feel the same thing. Children instinctually learn by life experiences how far they can go. Sometimes they have to fall down. Yelling "be careful" at a child plants a seed of doubt that might cause them to hesitate before jumping down three steps, which may very well cause the thing you're most fearing, jumping short and actually hurting themselves. I think most everybody has seen the movie Gone with the Wind and remember the scene where their Scarlett's daughter was riding the horse, and she wanted to show her how she could take her pony over some jumps, and she was so excited. Now, Scarlett's dad, who was a practicing alcoholic most of the time and liked to ride, lost his life going over a jump on a horse when he lost his balance and fell and broke his neck. So she had this fear of her daughter riding a horse and going over a jump. Now, her dad had made many, many jumps before with no problem, but this time he was a little inebriated and didn't make the jump. So her fear was, and just before the horse was approaching the jump, she shouted out real loud, "Be careful." And in that instant, it just takes an instant like that for somebody to reflex and to tighten their legs or check the reins a little bit, and the horse feels it, he hesitates, and instead of taking that full stride before going into the jump, he short-strided, hit the jump, and of course they fell, and the child was injured and died. It always makes me wonder what would happen if she hadn't have shouted out at that moment. And of course she brained it all on red for giving her a pony and teaching her to ride, and never for her overprotectiveness of shouting out that warning. So there's a narrow line we walk as parents, and when they're young, yes, we need to teach them different values and principles and common sense things so they can take care of themselves and make wise decisions. When they get older, every time they leave the house, we arm them normally with what they should not do. Have you ever thought about reinforcing the values and principles you've taught them and trusting them to make value-based decisions? Bye, Johnny. Have fun at Blake's. You know how to make good choices, and you're such a polite young man. They are just going to love having you over. It takes the preaching out of teaching to come from a positive place and a great expectation for your child than coming from a fearful place and a negative expectation. When you say, "Now, when you're over there, mind your manners, don't run in the house, be sure and pick up your plates and take it to the kitchen, and don't roughhouse in the house," and you start telling them all the things you don't want them to do, and you plant a lot of seeds in their mind that they hadn't even actually thought about. So children seem to live up to our expectations. If you don't believe they can do something and you're constantly putting them down and criticizing them and judging them in your well-meaning effort to help make them perfect, it destroys their self-esteem, and they don't believe in themselves, and they can become very dependent. Sometimes as parents, we feel the need to be needed, particularly with the youngest child. We don't want them to leave the nest because we have identified with being a parent for so long, and when they're gone, who are we? We need another label. We need to go inside and find our own happiness. We've been living vicariously through our children for years and years and years. So how they behave and the choices they make will depend on the values and the guidelines and the politeness that you taught them at home. That's your part. That's what you need to focus on. When they go out in the world, you need to trust that they have those values and that they will use them, because that's how you've taught them. You've taught them kindness, and you've taught them about choices and consequences and making good decisions. And trust them. When you warn them what not to do, what you're saying is, "I don't think you're capable of ever learning anything I tell you, so you need me to constantly run around and be a voice in your ear warning you what not to do," instead of being the voice saying, "You have very much wisdom. You're a common sense kid. You know what to do, and you'll make the right choices." Can you see and feel the difference in that? And oftentimes it comes from a needy place in the parent. If you're independent and do well, "I don't have a job. I just lost my job. So I need you to depend on me." And when you make a dependent child, you keep them from the life experiences that they need to grow and be successful. And that's fine if you're going to be around forever to take care of them, to wipe their nose, to give them money, to feed them, to give them protection. But we've got to train our children to go out and face the world and know that they have the ability to find a solution and make good choices. Some of the strongest, most self-sufficient people I know were allowed to experiment in a relatively safe environment as a child. Two boys I knew in college grew up on a farm in Texas, and they really wanted a horse. Now, their dad told them when they learned to ride the mule in the lot, that he would think about getting them a horse. Now, this mule was pure mule and didn't like anyone on his back. They were not allowed a saddle, but just a bridle, and they had to figure out how to get on the mule and stay on the mule. He wasn't a hard bucker, but he would just kind of twist and turn and give a little hop, and off they'd come, and they'd land in the dirt, and they'd get up, and they'd try again, and they learned to mount bareback, grab a handful of mane, and jump on the horse and hold on, and they landed in the dirt more times than they got on that mule before they finally learned how to use their legs, their sense of balance, and hold on and position themselves. And that mule told them how to stick to a horse and how to ride anything. They got their horses and still no saddles. The reason being is that they fell off or got knocked off, they couldn't hang up in the stirrup, so they were pretty safe in the lot with the horse. The mule taught them so much about staying in the middle of an animal's back that before long, Dad bought some Mustangs, and the boys spent the summer breaking the Mustangs, and the Dad shared the profits with them when he sold them. They went on to be champion bareback, saddle bronc, bull riders, calf ropers, and bulldoggers. They were national high school champions, both of them. They went on in the pro rodeo circuit for a while. Then one of them decided that banging his head against a bull was not a good choice to make, and he went into the banking business and was very successful. But the Dad didn't stand around and coach them. He left them to their own project. If they got skin up, they dusted themselves off, they got up and got back on. How much free rein can you give your kids? Do you watch them strike out at bat at a ball game and start coaching, or do you say, you're a good athlete, you'll figure it out, keep swinging. And if they don't ask you for your help, step away and let them figure it out. It's something. If it is something they really want, they will find a way. And you have empowered them to handle a problem and find a solution rather than giving them the easy way out and never having to experience the journey to really appreciate arriving at a place. It's a precarious decision to stay out of some people's business, particularly when we're meaning well and we believe that they need our help, that they need our wisdom, and that we can save them the pitfalls in life. If you don't have a few pitfalls, you don't ever grow. That's what they're there for. The best gift in life is your own personal learning experiences. But the good thing is you learn from the experiences, you realize what you did wrong, and you can make an adjustment and do it different next time. But if you don't have the experience, you never get creative in figuring out how to correct problems and how to be a problem solver in life. Give your kids and your friends, support them in seeing them as if they can, not as if they can't. When you have positive expectations of people, they feel it, and they feel you're behind them and that you believe in them, and it helps them believe in themselves, and they can go on to do great things. But if you have negative beliefs about their abilities, they feel that also, and they kind of give up before they ever try, unless you really make them mad and they revolt just to get out of it. But we are so often in our friend's business, we see somebody and we think they're making a mistake on how they're running in their business, and you jump in and tell them what they ought to be doing. They'll figure it out. They can live. You are not indispensable to the world. You are dispensable. They can live a life without you. That may be a shock to some of us, but I have a quote, and I want to share with you, it's an Abraham Hicks quote, and it's what I'm using to pretty much go by every day I read this to remind me not to be in other people's business, to remind me to look positively at other people, to believe in them, to know that they can find their way. and to look. Anyway, here it is. And this is are my goals for 2015. To reach the place where I'm not willing to listen to people criticize one another. It hurts me to hear somebody talking negatively about someone else. It really hurts. And I need to say, time out. Can we change the subject? I'm really not interested in negative aspects of other people. To reach the place where I'm not willing to listen to people criticize one another, where I take no satisfaction from someone being wrong, where it matters so much to me that I feel good that I'm only willing to think positive things about people. I'm only willing to look for the positive aspects. I'm only willing to look for solutions, and I'm not willing to beat the drum of all the problems in the world. You can get so caught up in all the major problems in the world that don't even affect you that you can't change from where you are. If you can throw a starfish back, throw a starfish back. But if you have to recourse your whole life to try to save someone else when you're not even sure they're drowning, you just think they are by the reports you have. Why are they there? It's their learning experiences. They need to learn how to stand up for themselves. And until someone believes in them and gives them the choice to be their voice of freedom, you're crippling them. So that is my, that I reach for every day. And I think the hardest one for me is to not be willing to criticize other people or listen to someone criticize another person. You know, we look at people, it's human nature to judge them. I went to the airport and I kind of people watch while I'm waiting for my plane, and I saw a young girl walking by, and she had a crisp black suit on, a little ruffly blouse, and black patent leather shoes, and her hair was pulled back in a very professional look, just the right accent of jewelry, and she was walking crisply through the airport, and I looked at her and the thought was, Prissy. And then a little bit I saw this little chunky girl coming along wearing cut-off shorts, strings hanging down, a T-shirt, a baggy T-shirt, her hair in a ponytail, half of it was slipping out, tennis shoes. And she was in an airport. Now, my parents always taught me you kind of dress nice to go places. And, you know, she looked like she was going to go to a baseball game or out to a garden instead of get on an airplane and fly somewhere. And I thought, sloppy. And I don't know these two people. I don't know their journey. I don't know where they're going. I don't know what money they have in their bank account, what they do for a living. And here I'm making judgments of them. And notice I saw two totally opposites, and both judgments were negative. So how can we change those thinking? You know, if you could look at the professional girl and say, wow, she's a sharp chick. And the other one and say, she must be in a hurry. Maybe she's on the way and didn't have time to change. You don't know what the scenario is. Or maybe she's just very comfortable with who she is. So it's about staying out of other people's business, supporting them by believing in them, seeing them, looking at their good, strong aspects, not what you consider their weak aspects. If you want to influence someone else's reality, support them in believing in themselves and believing that they can do anything they set their mind to. You don't have to know how, and they don't have to know how. Once you believe you can achieve, the universe moves to support you, and happy happenstances, coincidences happen all the time that help lead you to your goals and to your path. It's not about having to know before you begin. If you wait till you know everything before you begin, you're never going to get there because it's always learning. That's that perfectionism that really holds you back. It's okay to be a perfectionist, but if you have to know how to do everything before you enter into it, you're missing out on some fun learning experiences. The fear of not being perfect. And notice how many things come from a fear base rather than a loving base. you'd be surprised when you look at things you do and say, if you were coming from a fearful place, needing to control someone so you think they won't get hurt, don't rob them of their learning experiences. Support them in being able to manage their lives, their business, their money, and coming out on the good end. That's the only way you can help influence someone else's reality. Telling them how to change and live their life the way you do. I mean, how many times has it worked for you today, being the controller and trying to control things? You know, the more you try to control, the less you have. And the more that you possess, you feel like you need to protect and control. So it's doesn't always come out to be the best thing. You know, some of the poorest people in life are the happiest people, were those with all their millions and three or four houses and all these cars, and then they have to have insurance and things to people to protect them and bodyguards. And, you know, is it worth it? Who's happiest? So think about that a little bit. I'm a little ahead of schedule today, and I'm going to go to the phone line. Well, let me go see if anybody has asked any questions. Usually I don't get questions on this day. It's Clay Days that I get questions. There are a few on the phone, so I'm going to ask if anybody on the phone has a question they'd like to ask, or maybe a story about when they were allowed to make a life learning experience. If you press star 2 on your phone, I can open your line. You know, do you know of anybody that ever learned to ride a bike that didn't get a skint knee? If they did, I would say their mom and dad's had them dressed up like a mummy, so if they hit the ground, they wouldn't scrape a knee or an elbow. You just can't do it. But when you do learn that balance, you feel so good, and it's so much fun to ride the bike. And you did it all by yourself, and you got a few scrape marks to show that you did it. That's your badge of honor. So my wish for you today is to be in a peaceful, loving place, to relinquish judgments and criticism of others, to take no satisfaction from anyone being right or wrong. There is nothing right or wrong. It's merely the thinking that makes it so. From whatever your position are, you can find a reason to be right. That's what debates are about. I don't like debates, so I don't debate with people. They can have their belief, and I can have mine. Where it matters to me so much that I feel good that I'm not willing to think, I'm only willing to think positive things about people. You know, it takes something, it's a baggage you carry around when you think negative thoughts around about people, because then you think you need to jump in and save them. And your job is to save yourself. Your job is to be in total joy and love. And I'm only willing to look for positive aspects. I'm only willing to look for solutions. There is always, always, always a solution. And creativity is looking for the solutions. And oftentimes when we are in a jam and we need a solution, we start mentally trying to figure our way out and we overthink it. So if you can quieten and do a meditation and be still and just be in the moment, you'll hear that voice of God within you, your inner self, your inner intuition. It will lead you to making the right decision. But if your mind is running 50,000 miles an hour, when I am the busiest, it's a signal to me I need to lock my office door. My brother has a beautiful backyard, and it's kind of on the green belt in Austin, and they've got a hammock down under the trees. And I take off, and I go to that little honey hole, and I get in that hammock, and I have a let go, let God moment. And I say, you know, I've got so many things going, I don't know what to do next. I need some help. I'm trying to do too much, and I don't know where to turn next or what decision to make. And I'm going to turn it over to you, and I just want to breathe and relax and just look at the trees and look around and appreciate the environment where I am and appreciate my journey and what got me to this state and being willing to let go of my thinking and allow a thought to arise, a solution to arise, as it always will. Well, I haven't gotten any cues that anyone wanted to talk to me today, and our time is almost up. We do have the notes for this will be transcribed and put on the new book website. If you go to livingclaybookco.com or the bentonitecleyinfo.com, it replaces aboutclay.com. That will lead you to, you can go down and look under the seminars, and it will lead you to where they are archived, that if you didn't get to listen to it, you could go in and listen to it, or you can just get the notes that I spoke off of. Sometimes I interject some things between the notes, life experiences that aren't in the notes, but you get the general gist of it. It's kind of a guideline that you can go by. As most of you know by now, that we sold the Living Clay business to a company called Nutraceutical Corporation, who buys young startup companies and helps grow them because they have distribution channels. They use Cosmeceutical, your creams and lotions, and supplement companies. And they only get companies that are using natural products, healthy products, chemical-free, animal testing-free. You know, they're on that new age values and commitment to good products. And so if you still want to buy some Living Clay products, you just go to livingclayco.com, as always, and the same 800 number on the bottles will get you in touch with someone. It won't be Leslie, and it won't be in Texas, but you can still get your products. And would like to have you all sign up for the lecture. The About Clay site is down for right now. I don't know what their plans are doing in the future. So I have created the Bentonite Clay Info site, bentoniteclayinfo.com. And that's where all the stuff on aboutclay.com was archived. So you can go there and you can find the answers, the articles, the teleseminars, the recordings, some videos, and things like that. So with all that information, I bid you adieu, and I hope you can find a honey hole every now and then to let go and let God and fall into that beautiful soft space of being here now in the moment and appreciating what's around you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I'm going to, and my expectation is that you will too. Thank you for listening in and being with us. This is Perrier signing out.